The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, usually somewhat fascinating. Friday, as we head into the weekend, not being afraid even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. First, it is often said that a picture is worth a thousand words. Jesus taught us by using pictures, images, and stories as well. We're going to review a 20th century story that paints 100,000 words. Ooh, nice. Next, as Jesus prepared to face the ultimate humility from his creation, their rejection and abuse, he first goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. Pastor Ray's devotional gives us insight into the preparations from Jesus that he faced as he was encountering human death. And finally, without the resurrection, there's not much going for the Christian. But in the resurrection, we find something special from the Lord. We find that there is a personal invitation to fellowship with God. And what is fantastic is it is a continual invite from him to you and me.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you do that, Terrific T will answer the phone. As we said before, one of my favorites to say when she answers the phone and you talk to her, it's right as rain. Right as rain. Remember that? Yep, just right as rain. And if you guys never saw The Matrix, I can't help you. Right as rain. Then she turns you over to me and it's like thunder and lightning. Ay, 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 ay. Boom.
Why, you stuck up, half-witted, scruffy looking nerf herder.
Who's scruffy looking?
Who's scruffy looking? That's a great one. Where did you get that play? We had that for a while?
Yeah, I just never found a good place to put
it. That was a good place to put it. That was really good. All right, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that was so funny. If you want to reach out to us, it can be for a prayer request, a praise report, or you can answer trivia, you can ask a question. If it's not too theologically deep, we'll do what we can to answer it. And then also, it's just an opportunity for you to engage, and we want you to be able to do that, and that's an important part of things. We are going to start off with trivia. Before I say what the trivia is, I will tell you I've never taught on the seven last things Jesus had said, you know, before he died. So that last segment that I taught on, that's the first time I've ever taught on that. It's like, wow. I mean, I've taught on a lot of stuff. It's like I was realizing I never taught on that before. So I kind of like that. That was pretty cool. All right. Let's do our trivia question. Here we go. As you can guess, they're probably going to be related to what? The resurrection? Yeah. Good guess. Or the Easter process. How many crosses? This will be an easy one. How many crosses were in the crucifixion picture? How many crosses were in the crucifixion picture? And if you can tell me what they represent, that's just a bonus. But you don't have to. I'm just saying, because I'm going to share real quickly. So how many crosses were there, like, you know, in the stories? in the Gospels? How many crosses were there that where Jesus was crucified? All right, if you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. You can do that. That's the way to go about that. We got people already responding. Good job. Appreciate that. Aunt Deb on target today. Again, how many crosses in the picture? You know, it's like you think of the crosses, think of the Gospels. You know, who was crucified? Where was he? There he goes. Go, go, go. You can do it. Again, 972-445-0770 on text 214-210-8483. I do want to do the website again. We did get some new giving, and I just want to say thank you to the people that have been doing that, and thank you to people have been stepping up. It's a blessing. And if we had nothing to pay and never had an issue, it'd be super easy. But, you know, as it is, I'm not even getting minimum wage. But that's not the point. The point is this. We want to be able to pay the bills so we can keep doing it. That's what we're trusting the Lord for. So don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right. Two things I want to tell you. If you want to go to our website, you can see a picture of the newest member of the Spoon family. For those that didn't hear, we did officially retain the name Bert. His name is Bert, B-E-R-T, Bert Wayne Spoon. It's Bert Wayne. That's the whole funny. That's what people don't get. It's Bert Wayne. Do we cover everything else? Are we ready to go? Yeah, I think so. All right, I have to check with T. All right. Listen to this story. I came across this in some of my – I have my PhD class. This is one of the stories in the PhD class. Verified, real, so on and so forth. But it's an amazing illustration, and I absolutely love it. And then if nobody calls in, I'll have T remind me, and we'll tell you the answer on the trivia. Okay? All right, unless she wants to answer. Okay. This is in one of my PhD books. Listen to this. This is where it's not study. This is where you read this stuff and you go, wow. To illustrate what Christ has done for his people, Paul Zale gives the following account of a duck hunter and his friend in a wide open barren stretch in the land of southeastern Georgia. Far away on the horizon, he noticed a cloud of smoke. Soon he could hear the sound of crackling. A wind came up, and he realized the terrible truth. A brush fire was advancing his way. It was moving so fast that he and his friend could not possibly outrun it. The hunter began to rifle through his pockets, and then he emptied all the contents of his knapsack. He soon found what he was looking for, a book of matches. To his friend's amazement, he pulled out a match and struck it and lit a small fire around the two of them. Soon, they were standing in a circle of blackened earth, waiting for the fire to come. They did not have to wait long. They covered their mouths with handkerchiefs and braced themselves. The fire came near and swept by them. They were completely unhurt. They weren't even touched. The fire would not pass where fire had already passed. Zale goes on to note that divine judgment for sin is like the brush fire. Sinful human beings cannot escape it, but if they stand in the burned over place where punishment has already been meted out, then they will not be hurt. What a absolutely stellar and fantastic story to understand that because of Jesus taking our sins for us, we are standing on burnt ground so that when the fire of judgment comes, it just goes around us and doesn't touch us. I mean, come on. That's like, wow, what a picture, right? Here's the reality. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many? All. And in that sinning, Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Everybody's entitled to be judged because of sin. Romans 6:23, But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So that's Jesus, that blackened area, that fire-charred area, that's Jesus taking the penalty for us. And God showed his love for us that while we were still sinners, he died for us and took that judgment. Here's our response to that. If we declare with our mouths Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we are saved. Hallelujah. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You got to declare it with your mouth and believe in your heart. And then you go to John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, it's like standing on that fire that's already been so that when the wave of judgment comes, it goes around. And you don't get burned. Now, oftentimes when I do my studies, the stories are not this good. Let me just. Or interesting, to be quite frank about it. But this is a really good one, and we should understand this. We should understand this principle fully. Jesus took that penalty for us. He took that judgment for us. And where we stand now because of our faith in Christ is on territory that's already received judgment. So when that wave of judgment comes, it just goes around us. That's what the grace of God is. That's what the gift of God is. That's what grace and mercy are working together in our lives. Right? Okay. Got to answer trivia? Okay, real quickly on the trivia. There were three crosses, Jesus in the center, one on his left and one on his right, one person unsaved, the other person saved. The Savior, the saved, and the unsaved. Get it? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then the show starts, and you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
So the situation for the woman turned out to be fine. But remember, he's there with Jairus, and Jairus' daughter is dying. Verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." This is a situation for Jairus that went from worse to the worst. All right, you know how we said it can go from bad to worse? We were talking about that. Well, it can go from bad to worse to the worst. And this is the worst. The guy's daughter died.
Oh, she wasn't just really sick.
She died dead. And they even said to her, "What? There's no point in talking to this guy anymore. This is over. Situation done." And that's how a lot of us process. Situation done. But then Jesus does what Jesus does because he's so amazing. He overheard what they said to him. They didn't say it to Jesus. They said it to the guy. They said it to Jairus. Right? And they said to him, "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe." So there are three things that you can't miss this. Number one, Jesus is telling the guy whose daughter just died, ignore them. It's like, can you imagine? Okay. The doctor just pronounced her dead. Yeah, ignore that guy. What? He's the doctor. Ignore that guy. That's just like the blind man who are like people are telling him, be quiet, stop it, stop it, and he shouts out all the more. It's at some point you just got to ignore any external noise that hasn't been sanctioned by God and just go, yeah, I'm not paying attention to that. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Before I do the next trivia question, I want to give a shout out to Eric. Eric had a very interesting reply to the trivia question, so I just wanted to, he said, I think I like the way he said it better than the way I said it, because I said, say, you know, the Savior, then one saved, and then one unsaved. Eric said, one with sin, one that was forgiven, and one that had no sin. Yeah, that was pretty good. Good job, Eric. That's the only props you're getting. Okay, good job. Let's get our next trivia question. Here we go. This is challenging, but shouldn't be too... According to the Gospel of Matthew, I'll let you guys figure it out. According to the Gospel of Matthew, we're looking at Matthew 28. Because Jesus has all authority, what does he want us to make? Okay? And don't say a burrito. Or a taco, even though I'm hungry, and that sounds really good. Or a pizza. That's not the answer. Because Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth, what does he want us to make? If you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in at 214-210-8483. Okay, got two choices. I'm going to let teammate just choice, because let me tell you, can you imagine, I just want to say, she should get some – I keep saying you should get paid more. But she should get props just for – can you imagine having to listen to me for an hour and a half every day? And now we've done 500 shows. So she's done like, what, 300 of them? I'm going to give her a medal for crying out loud. I think she should get a medal. And I'm going to let her choose because I got two jokes, two short ones or one longer one. So I'm going to let her pick. Okay. All right, we got somebody that's, I think, going to answer. So this is, I think they'll be doing the trivia. Straightforward, because Jesus has all authority, because all authority in heaven and earth, what does he want us to make? Okay, now it's not that I object to people thinking of food because I haven't eaten lunch, but that's, of course, not what the answer is, right? All right. The other thing I do want to remind you is go to the website for those that can give or be a part to taking the giving. And pray. Pray not just for this ministry. Pray for the churches this weekend. They really need the energy from the Lord to do what they got to do. We ready? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Brother Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. How are you, my friend?
Yes, I'm doing good, and I appreciate it. And I just told T, we don't know nothing about T. We know everything about you, but we don't know nothing about T. Maybe you might explain who she is and what her life's like, her family, and all of that, but anyway, she's a pretty important part. I just told her she's got a great spirit, you know, to get you onto the program. And
yeah, just to endure. She ought to get a free meal once a month just for that. Come on. My wife, of course, when she gets to heaven, she's going to get a big trophy, but that's besides the point. The Lord's going to go surviving me. All right, my good friend, here we go. Classic. Because Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, what does he want us to make?
Disciples of all nations.
That is correct, sir! He wants us to make disciples and disciples of all nations. Excellent. I knew you were going to know that right off the bat. It's one of those classic, you know, he wants us to make the people think, well, why do you want to do that? Well, Jesus said so. That's why.
Amen. You know, David, to be honest with you, that's probably the worst lack of follow-up that the church does is when they have somebody come and to the altar and give their life and then get baptized and they just drop them. Never stay with them for the first 6 months or something to establish them in the word and in the faith and then let them go. But I don't think there's a lot of times we let people go away thinking they're on their own, but that's not always easy for them.
That is, you know what? That is 100% correct. I mean, that is my line to that. The worst thing the church does is the follow-up. It's the, you make a disciple and then they're like floundering. And it's like you're supposed to continually disciple, and to disciple technically makes to make one like oneself or to make one like somebody. And it's like that's an ongoing process, and I don't think the church does that great a job. Now, it's not that the Lord's going to jump on anybody's head, but that's a great, great point. Where there's a lot of follow-up in the first 3 months, but not a lot after that. Excellent point. Good job, my brother. That's what we should be praying for. That's kind of what this show is geared for, is the rest of us.
It's amen. Amen. Well, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for your love and tea, too. Thank
all right. You. God bless you. Right. Thank you, brother.
You too.
Bye-bye. All right, T, you get to choose. Two really short jokes, although I think very funny. Just so you know, they're short but funny. Or one longer joke that's more cutesy, kind of like joke.
So, I'm ready to laugh. Let's hear the two short ones.
Two short jokes coming up. Here we go. Ready? All right. This one happens to be one of my favorites, and I have actually told this joke for 30 years. That's how much I like this joke. All right, get ready. Everybody smile for a second. We'll get to the teaching in a second. One Sunday morning, a mother went in to wake up her son and tell him it was time to get ready for church, to which he replied, "I'm not going." "Why not?" she asked. "I'll give you two good reasons. They don't like me, and I don't like them." "Huh," the mother replied. "I'll give you two good reasons why you should go to church. One, you're 54 years old, and two, you're the pastor." Now, come on! Come on, people! You're the pastor. Come on. And this one, I happen to like this one. Maybe more so than I should, but I'm just going to confess I do. Three pastors went to a pastor convention and were all sharing one room. The first pastor said, "Let's confess our secret sins to one another. I'll start. My secret sin is I just love to gamble. When I go out of town, it's cha-ching, cha-ching, let the machines ring." The second pastor said, "My secret sin is that I hate working. I copy all my sermons from those given by other pastors." The third pastor said, "My secret sin is gossiping, and oh boy, I can't wait to get out of this room." Come on, those are good, right? All right. That's good stuff right there. If you're not laughing, check your pulse.
The last pastor is me.
Isn't that funny? There's some funny. All right, here we go. All right. Joke's done. What do we got? Oh, I want to do Pastor Ray's thing on the route to Gethsemane. So just listen. Just take it easy. Take a deep breath, everybody. That's how I got to feel, because when I get home, I have to deal with a puppy. Okay. Who's in a room with another dog. Hopefully, they have not torn the house apart. All right. This is from Pastor Ray, one of our good friends. This is what he writes. He's quoting John 15, 1 through 2. "I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful. Come now, let us leave." Jesus beckoned his disciples, leading them from the upper room where they shared their last supper together. It was the day before the cross. He knew what was coming. He washed their feet, shared communion, taught them, reassured them, and then stood up and led them down to the Garden of Gethsemane. As they walked past acres of vineyards in the light of the Passover moon, I can just see Jesus stopping to lift up a length of a vine as he began to reveal the mysteries of spiritual gardening. "I am the vine," he began. It starts with him. The gardener is God the Father, and the believers are the branches of the vine. There are only two kinds of branches, fruitless and fruitful. Which means there's only two kinds of believers, fruitless and fruitful. One of the great principles of gardening is pruning. Vine keepers cut off the sucker shoots, the cane-like branches that produce beautiful leaves but bear no fruit. If they remain, they'll sap the life of the vine and reduce the amount of water and nutrients that reach the fruit. Everything suffers. Pruning directs as much water and nutrients as possible to the branches bearing fruit, increasing the quantity and the quality of the harvest. Jesus needed them to know that pruning is necessary. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's a relief. God will remove things from our lives that we simply don't have the courage or strength to remove ourselves. Even fruitless branches can bear deceptively beautiful foliage. Just because things look good and sound good doesn't mean they are a part of the heavenly gardener's plan for your life. God may be pruning something out of your life. In this area of quarantines and lockdowns and social distancing, we're all feeling a bit pruned. But whatever is being cut out of your life, let it go. Trust him. Don't fight it. Welcome him, for his pruning will ultimately enrich your life. Jesus said he's come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He came to give us rich, full, productive lives that are not distracted, weighed down, diluted, or hindered by activities, relationships, or unnecessary obligations. He waters, nourishes, weeds, and carefully prunes our lives to allow our gifts and talents to flourish so we can be a blessing to others and glorify God. I hope one day I could write one thing that is that good. Are you kidding me? I think one of the best lines in there is sometimes the leaves, that they're pretty, they look good, but they don't produce any fruit. It's like, what a great analogy and understanding of Jesus as he's going to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there's some things in our lives that God needs to cut out. It's like, you know, Christians will say this, and I've heard this preached. Well, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. Yeah, but that's still net 1 step. So not that big a deal. Let the Lord do that. And if he's cutting something out, let him cut it out. That doesn't mean he can't graft it back on. We can know that's a fact just because we read scripture and he grafts the Gentiles back on. It's like, that works. But let him do it. Let him be the gardener. Let him be the one that coordinates it. We do the process of trusting, obeying, yielding, honoring, glorifying. We have a communion. He takes care of that stuff. That stuff's bigger than you and me. Let him take care of it. He's really, really good at it. All right, when we come back, my favorite resurrection text, period. Just my personal favorite. I hope you guys are blessed by it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy, 972-445-1700, or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
My next guest has been on the show before with a prior book. I'm very excited to talk to him about this book. I've seen a couple of the interviews that he's done, and this book is a great apologetic book on Christology, and I'm hoping that people will really enjoy this. First and foremost, let's welcome back to our show David Limbaugh. David, how are you doing, sir?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Excellent book, by the way. Big props for writing The True Jesus, Uncovering the Divinity of Christ in the Gospels. I know they give me a list, and I know you know they give a list for us to ask questions, but if you remember from the last time you were on the show, I rarely look at that list.
That's good.
Because I like to get from you as the author, you know, kind of where it was going and what you were thinking. So let's just talk about at the core level, you know, for the purpose of writing this book, what was the big goal you were trying to accomplish in writing The True Jesus?
Well, I started out, I wanted to write a primer, a survey, an introduction to the New Testament. And as I got into it, I realized that I could not cover it adequately with sufficient depth. So I asked the publisher, Regnery, if I could narrow the focus to just the Gospels, because the Gospels are where you see the living Son of God and you encounter him. And you sit at his feet and hear his teachings and you watch him and you observe his behavior and his authoritative teaching and his empathy for human beings. And you see his declaration of divinity. And why he led the Jewish authorities to want to crucify him, because he was, in fact, claiming to be God, because he his God. And so I want his divinity and his full humanity to jump off the pages of my book. And the book is a compendium of the four Gospels in a consolidated account, not attempting to be a harmony, which you can't totally do, and in a roughly chronological form. The ultimate goal, and with a running commentary, the ultimate goal is I want to inspire people to read the Gospels and the Bible for themselves.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You got to like that about David Loomis. My ultimate goal is for people to read the Gospels for themselves. Exactly. Exactly. Okay? And not just read them once. Okay? I came across a study, just so you can know. If you read the Bible 15 minutes a day, okay, every day, 15 minutes, I'm serious, 15 separated minutes, you would read the Old and the New Testament more than one time within a 12-month calendar, 365-day year. It's amazing. It's just like it's just numerical stats. You can't really change them. But if we just discipline to that, that would be a great thing. All right, let's get our next trivia question up. Then we're going to do history, and then one of my favorite teaches that I enjoy teaching. I hope it's a blessing for you. Here is the next trivia question. Who, I guess you could say to whom, but I don't know. Who did Jesus appear to first? Especially according to the Gospel of Mark. Who did Jesus appear to first? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770 is the phone number. You can also text in, 214-210-8483. I did want to say that Aunt Deb was correct, and even Joy corrected that was that passage was John 19:30 and not 19:20. I mean, it was I saw that afterwards, but good job on Deb's part. Good job on Joy's part to go, yeah, that's the right one. Good job. Good job, people. And if you haven't looked at the dog yet, you got to go to hemustincrease.org just to see a picture of the dog so you can know what I'm facing, okay? You can know what I'm dealing with. All right. You can know what it is that happens in my household. You can look and go, boy, that guy needs prayer. It's like, yes, I do. I need prayer on a regular basis. Okay, somebody's calling in, so we're going to see if that they get a chance to answer that question. Don't forget, like I said, the website, hemustincrease.org. Are we going to put them on? Yes, no, yes, there. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Did we do the ring? This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Mary.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Well, I'm doing better. I had surgery on Monday, but I'm doing better.
We'll be praying for you for fast recovery. I mean, that's important. And then I want to make sure you got that message. I didn't mean to cut you off yesterday, but we were really tight on time right at the end of the show, and that sometimes that does happen.
Yeah,
so I'm sorry about that.
I think I missed the message, but I do have a question for you.
Okay, and do you also know that trivia, or do you just have a question?
No, I think Peter was the first one that he spoke to when he arose from the dead.
Okay.
Personally.
But
is that correct?
No, if we were talking about a woman, who might that woman be?
Oh, the woman. Well, that was Mary Magdalene.
That's correct! There you go! There you go! Good job, Mary. Good way to pull that together. Good job. Excellent.
Well, look it. I want you to tell me what the high priest's name was. Was it, you know, when they first arrested Jesus, And they took him to the high priest's house.
Right.
What was that man's name?
Boy, I think it's Caiaphas. Is that right?
Caiaphas?
Yes.
Okay, Caiaphas.
I think so. If I'm wrong, okay. I need people to tell me while I'm texting because it's kind of just off the top of my head. If I'm wrong, I'll make a correction in the next 20 minutes because somebody will text me. but I'm pretty sure it was Caiaphas. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know, excellent. He had four different, this is what I've been reading today out of Luke. Yeah.
That's, you want to be reading that and stay in it because the gospel saves you and it keeps you. It's good to keep reading it, and rereading it.
Yeah, well, I'm saved. I know I'm going to be in heaven.
Yep, you're going to dance on streets. You're going to dance on streets of gold. That's right.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Mary. All right, God bless. Bye-bye.
All righty, thank you.
All right, Mary, doing a great job. Come back. Good job on that. By the way, if I was wrong on Caiaphas, somebody write me or tell me. I'm just not looking right now because we've got history in this text and everything else. But there you go. It was Mary Magdalene. That's out of Mark chapter 16, verse 9, if anybody's looking for a reference. Let's do history real quick. Here's our history.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, this will sound familiar. Today is Good Friday. I said this last year at the same time, basically. It's Good Friday followed by a better Sunday. That's how you should think of it. It's Good Friday, followed by a better Sunday. National Walk to Work Day. I looked at that. Mine is 38 and a half miles. Not doing it. Sorry. National Walk. Do you know how long that would take me?
Yeah, that'd probably take you till later on tonight.
Yeah, it's like, what? The good part about things is it's National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day, which I think is a staple. So, now, have you ever had that goober stuff where they mix the jelly and the peanut butter together?
Yes.
I think it's not that bad. What do you think?
It's good. It's pretty good. Have you ever fried? Yeah.
I have not.
I've had it fried. It's
no
good.
Way. Good? Mm-hmm. Really? Got to try it now. All right. On this day in 1513, Ponce de Leon set foot on Florida, becoming the first European to do so. But I don't think he was a Miami Hurricane fan yet, so I'm just going to point that out. 1902, the first movie theater opened. This I did find fascinating. 1922, the first airline steward, Jack Sanderson, began to work for Daimler Airlines. I just found that fascinating. And then two last things. I'm going to do one of them. 1978, on this day, Dallas. Texas, right? Dallas. The long-running primetime soap opera. It's terrible and terrible morals, but it was called Dallas. So I thought I'd just give it a shout-out. All right, I'm done. All right, let's get into what I consider my favorite teaching, John chapter 20, verse 10 through 16, my favorite personal teach on the resurrection. Mary stood outside the tomb crying, John 20:11. As she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, that's funny because we just did that gardener reference last segment, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. This is my, you just think, why is that your favorite resurrection text? A bunch of different reasons, but the main reason is there's three points in this that just blow my mind. Here's somebody that knew Jesus, and when Jesus talked to her, she didn't realize it was Jesus. I think that's the testimony of most of us Christians. Jesus could be right next to us talking to us, and we're like, going, "You're the gardener?" We're just like not getting it. And that's because, you know, we're either our emotions have diluted us or we're not heightened spiritually. I just think that happens a lot and people don't want to admit it, but I think it's true. Second, it's funny because Jesus asked her an interesting question. He said, basically, he said to her, "Who is it you are looking for?" And that is a really pointed question for the gospel. Who is it that you're looking for in Jesus? Are you looking for Jesus to be the Messiah that you want him to be? Or are you looking for Jesus to be the Messiah he is? Are you offended because Jesus doesn't come off the way that we think he should? Or are you surrendered because you know that he knows better than we do? And then the last thing to me, and the most important thing, and I have taught this for 40 years. As Jesus said to her, Mary, and she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And to me, it's one of the greatest passages, John 20, verse 16, because Jesus knows her name, calls her name, and as soon as he calls her name, she instantly knows it's all real. It's just like, come on. When the Lord calls your name, man, it's just like your whole spiritual eyes, your eyesight, your understanding expands. And you get it. And it's when he calls your name that you reply, what? Rabboni, teacher, master. Because you know this guy resurrected, and everything he said is true, and he just called me by name because he loves me so, and he wants me to know. And so when Mary does this, Jesus says her name, and she turns towards him, and then she's got a better grip, a better understanding, a better enlightenment at the moment, and she recognizes that Jesus is the master. He's the teacher. He's the rabbi, and that should be our response, not where you been, where you been, Jesus, or, you know, what about this, or hey, that was nifty, or any of that other stuff. She just said, master. And that's where you should just leave it. And you don't have to make it weird or bizarre or anything. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And just by acknowledging his title, it tells you where you're at in him. Have you said, Master, Rabboni, Teacher, when Jesus has called your name? If you've not, do it right now. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
First and foremost, we want to review our most important element of the day, and that is our DNA. Why is DNA important? Because a Christian should know what they're made of no matter what they're going through. Can I say this again as I've said it before? Let me do it real quick. Ready? More news is coming. I know it sounds prophetic, doesn't it? More even different news today, tomorrow, and the next day, and for the next week, and the next month, and the next year, and the next decade. Da-da-da, that's good. So in lieu of that, we have to have a certain way, and we need to be. Our DNA, Christian DNA, has three elements. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Number two, never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the Lord and his words. And A, always be ready to
serve.
Serve! There you go. So it's three simple things. DNA. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Quick shout out to Eric. I sent you a text, and I sent it in the wrong order.
So just,
yeah, just, you know, it's live texting. What do you want, people? I can only do the best I can. We got one last trivia question, an interesting trivia question, a fascinating trivia question, little more challenging, so I am going to tell you where it is. What two things did Jesus tell the disciples to do to prove that he wasn't a spirit, / that he wasn't a ghost? Okay? What two things did Jesus tell his disciples to do? The answer is in Luke 24. Okay? There you go. If you get the answer, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. I am going to do the word, the Hebrew word. Isn't that weird? I've decided I'm going to do the Hebrew word. We got the one last teaching, but I do want to do this Hebrew word. So go ahead. Let's play the Hebrew music. All right. Proverbs 16:3. Most people should know this, by the way, although I understand if you've not heard it, but this is a really important passage. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Now, I always, when I pray this in the King James or the New King James. And the reason that I do is because it says your thoughts will be established. And my brain works so weird, I need my thoughts established. I mean, I need my thoughts lined up. Otherwise, I just go like, you know, left field or something. So I actually pray it this way, but the word commit is what I want you to hear about. It's galal. Can you say galal?
Galal.
Galal in the Hebrew. It means to roll down, to roll away. And the word, I happen to know this because I did a word study on this for college. The word comes from a camel having a huge load on its back, and it would get down on its knees, and it would galal. It would roll all of the stuff off of its back. And that's what we're supposed to do when we commit it to the Lord. We're supposed to get down on our knees and then just roll it over and go, all yours, buddy. That's what it means. Isn't that cool? I think that's kind of a cool thing. All right. We got that. Trivia question. What do we got to do? Website? Okay. Let's do the website again because we need the giving. I don't care. We need the giving. Go ahead and play
website. HeMustIncrease.org. HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry.
All right, I'll give you one more hint on the two things that Jesus told his disciples to do, because you have to read it in context to get the whole thing. We got Joy and Eric coming in. Both of them coming in. Close. No. Although, actually, Joy could win this because she actually separated. I should have said three things. Here's the thing that you guys are not getting that I'm giving you a hint on. Fish and honeycomb. Fish and honeycomb. That's all I'm going to say. What two things did Jesus tell his disciples to do to prove that he wasn't a spirit or he wasn't a ghost? Look at Luke 24:39-42. You'll see the other thing that'll pop up. All right, let me do the very last teaching if I can find it and I didn't throw it out. Yeah, it looks like I threw it out. All right, I'm not doing the very last teaching. It was about Peter. I don't know why I threw it out, but here's the bottom line. Let me just do it because I can do it off the top of my head. 1 Peter chapter 1 talks about the resurrection. And the resurrection is, watch this, really important, a living hope. And here's what I want you to understand. The resurrection is not a wonderful, classical religious concept. It's not this beautiful story about this guy who did this wonderful thing. Now, the resurrection is not just this fable, and then we just talk about it, and it's kind of like a Santa Clausy thing, and makes everybody feel good at the right time of year. The resurrection is a living hope. And for us to understand the power of the resurrection is to understand the power of a living hope. Here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to pick up from. You're going to go into church and they're going to talk about it. Most of you are going to go to church. And if you can't go to church, you should listen on the radio or you should watch on television or do something to have some kind of connection to the scripture. But here's what you got to get. This hope that we have is greater than all the forces of evil, than all the forces of darkness, than all the forces of the world, than all the forces of sin. This living hope enables us to push to the very end because Jesus rose from the dead and you too are going to rise from the dead. Watch this connection. He has already risen you from being spiritually dead. You've already had a form of resurrection. You've already been enlightened. You've already been touched by the Spirit. You've already been redeemed. You've already had the blood of Jesus apply to you. You've already had a relationship with God, sanctified and blessed, and with the presence of God strengthening you and filling you with full of joy. You've already had a form of the resurrection just in your spiritual awakening, which is the greatest gift in humanity that you could ever understand. Yet there's more. There is another resurrection coming, and this time the mortal will put on immortal, and you will be able to exist in the presence of God for all of eternity without any change. You will be new in every regards that there is. That is... just watch this. This resurrection that we're talking about on Sunday, Jesus' resurrection, brought two resurrections for you. A spiritual awakening, an alive to God, a born again spirit that he gave you. Born again, get it? Resurrection. And a physical resurrection to follow in which we will be dancing on streets of gold. It'll be so glorious we can't even imagine. That's what the Lord has given us. And that down payment for what's physically going to happen is your spiritual resurrection through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that, it's just like, what? It's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ that God has taken you and plunged you into the pool of spiritual things. And all of a sudden, you can see and you can understand. Now, how beautiful is that? So when they're talking about the resurrection, you recognize that resurrection, one of the most powerful elements, and it has two applications. Once God spoken, twice have I heard. You are alive spiritually, and soon you're going to be alive for all of eternity in a resurrected body. How blessed are we that God has proven what's coming by what he's done on the inside of you? He's proven what's going to happen on the outside of you. That's a living hope. How beautiful. It's just wonderful. All right. I do want to answer the trivia question, and we have a bunch of different people saying different things, so I'm just going to read it. Good idea? All right. That's what I wanted to do. This is Luke chapter 24 out of the New King James Version. He said to them, why are you well, let me go to verse 37. They were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? And why did doubts arise in your heart? Behold, my hands and my feet. That is, I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. But while they were still there, they did not believe for joy. They marveled. And he said, please, do you have any food? And so he says, have you any food here? They gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. The two main things that Jesus said to the disciples was, it's me. I'm not a spirit. I'm not a ghost. What's the matter with you guys? Look. And he goes, handle me. Touch. Look. Right here. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. See? Handle this. And then he goes, you got any food? I mean, a ghost can't eat food. And so he eats broiled fish and a honeycomb in front of them. I was like, whoa, those were the two main things Jesus did, which I think is fascinating because he says, here, touch me. And he's here. Do you got a good deli around here? Here, what do we got? You got any corned beef? Oh, no? Okay, give me fish and honeycomb because a ghost can't eat. You see? So those were the two main things. That's okay. A little bit of a stretch, but we had some fun with it. All right, let me pray over everybody real quick as we go into the weekend. Father, we come before you right now. We just bless you, praise you, thank you, glorify you. You are awesome to us. And how great it is that the gift of Jesus Christ that you've given us is a clear demonstration of your love. And we just appreciate you so much and appreciate the resurrection and how you've resurrected us on the inside. And you're going to do that on the outside. And we rejoice in that. And we just ask you to help us have a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, this weekend, the ministries that honor you in truth and in spirit, let them be blessed and give them all the energy they need to proclaim your truth and your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 72.5-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.